12 minutes past 8. Dina Diamond, Marketing Mondays. What are we talking about on Marketing Mondays today?
So I thought today, because you actually, so I caught you a little snippet last week. You were talking about the fonts and how you mustn't use Times New Roman. It's dead in a resume if you don't want to get hired.
People get very angry about Times New Roman.
So I thought we'd discuss some design elements. So what actually, so if you look at all the brands out there, people don't really appreciate what goes into them. So in terms of their fonts, in terms of the color, in terms of what we call the visual identity, there are very, very specific guidelines for every single brand. They're like brand guidebooks, and the agencies have to use them. Everyone in the organization has to use them. And you can't actually sort of just take it for granted that anyone's Times New Roman is someone else's Calibri. So you have to really, really be very aware, especially when you got regards to branding, because you actually are sort of breaking the Bible if you don't follow that brand. And all brands actually create so what they'll do, they'll go to a brand agency, they'll do research, they'll say what color should we be. So color plays a major part in the brand. So, for example, what does red say to you?
EPSA.
So, yes, it actually was until they recently changed their brand. So, if you look at statistics, 84.7% of buyers claim that color is the primary draw card to a product.
Wow.
Amazing. So, when you're actually walking in a supermarket, you would pass, in about a minute, you'd pass probably about 600 products. So how do you actually differentiate? How do you make yourself
stand out?
Yeah, absolutely, sort of more appealing to the eye. And 84.7% of consumers actually say that color makes them look at it. And then in terms of even just the environment that you're in, so just the merchandising, so stores, like now the Apple store was all, it was all about now this new age look. And I mean, you walk in, you actually like, when I think they first opened, you're like, where's the rest of the store? I mean, they had like minimal.
Yeah.
But 52% of consumers won't return to a store if they dislike the aesthetic.
I get that. You don't want to walk into a store that just doesn't make you feel good.
Absolutely. I don't know if you've even noticed there's scent marketing.
The scent. I notice this all the time.
Yeah.
That there's certain stores that you walk past and, you know, you get this, and you associate it with that store, that smell.
That you actually want to walk in.
Mm.
So, and another one, as 80% of consumers believe color is responsible for brand recognition. So exactly what you said about ABSA, it's very interesting. So you say their color is red, but if you look at their new brand campaign, which was, they spent an independent fortune on, they are pink, they're yellow, they're orange, they're every other color.
So interesting, for me, ABSA is red. In my brain,
but it
is
always
red.
Will be, because you've had that association. It was created.
Isn't that interesting?
And even though ABSA is not an old brand, because ABSA came together as the amalgamated banks in South Africa,
Bank and
Allied
all of those,
Trust Bank,
that all the what do they call them? Building societies.
Yes, because in those days, a building society was giving bonds, and that was a bank. So when they rebranded, they tried to look into Africa. So there was a huge difference. So now, you know, Barclays obviously pulled out of ABSA.
Right,
And so that Barclays is very much a blue color. And then ABSA had to make a decision going into Africa. What were they going to do about their brand? So were they going to go ABSA into the rest of Africa? Were they going to, because they couldn't take the Barclays brand.
Right.
Because now Barclays have pulled out. So what did they actually, they could have changed their name completely and they could have come up with a new bank, because in Africa, they did a fortune of research to say, what does the ABSA brand mean to you? And in some countries, it meant nothing.
So they could have actually started afresh.
Absolutely, because Barclays had been in some countries for like over 200 years. So when you, just in terms of a color and in terms of an organization, you say, what is sort of, what resonates for you in terms of security, in terms of all of that.
Mm.
And blue is very stable. It's very trusted. It's very, calming. I mean, Zanati, what do you associate with a blue color?
Since we're, talking about banks, that's Standard Bank.
Exactly. So blue, a lot of very much blue is very,
and I see a lot of tech companies, a lot of high tech companies, they've got that. Sort of blue, silver.
Because it creates a level of trust, of strength, of dependability. But if you look at red, into
Africa. I was going to say, what is red? What
so
does red
is excitement, it's bold, it's life, it's youthful, it's power, it's energy. And that is what more is an African color. If you think more of what Africa is as a continent, people like to think of Africa as vibey and exciting.
Yeah, you do. You think of primary colors, actually. You think of red,
exactly,
yellow, green.
Absolutely.
Those are the colors I associate with Africa, don't you? What do you think?
Africa, yeah, green.
Red.
Black, even.
Yeah, but like very basic, very primary, yeah.
But also
nothing
bold.
Yes, yeah. Bold. Exactly
yeah,
what it
too,
is.
Because like the black, the blue is very like British, very proper, very standard, very trustable, dependable. You know what I mean?
Right.
Those kind of things. And then if you look at the greens, for example, that's very peaceful. It's very health driven. A lot of like health brands now will come out, and they're all green, and they're all. I mean, you know, I won't mention names of cereals, but you've seen there's a new cereal on the market that's like a health optimal nutrition. I mean, if you look what's inside, there's nothing healthy about it. But it's a green
but
box,
got
and
44
it
says, minerals and ions added extra.
Yes, exactly. And that's in the cocoa pops as well.
which is excessive. You know what? Do you think they couldn't have got away with 33?
Exactly.
It had to be.
Do you think it was a bit much?
I think it's excessive.
I think
they were showing off on all those vitamins and minerals. Yes.
Exactly. And then also you look at the different fonts. So like we talk about a red, a bright, bold color, like a Coca-Cola. So Coca-Cola actually created their own font. So in days gone by, now you can actually just choose a font, right? That's on your computer and you say, okay, like I actually thought that Times New Roman was my handwriting. You know, when you used to say, cause you know, you typed so many like documents.
Yeah.
I actually thought that Times New Roman 12 was
right.
my handwriting.
Was it? Yes,
yeah,
that's who
that
you were.
Me.
If we did some analysis on you, you just hand the Times New Roman
exactly.
Paper, right.
Totally. But, I mean, fonts, literally, like, there were creative directors and art directors back in the old days, back in the 40s and 50s. They used to handwrite, because there were no computers. They used to handcraft, an actual font.
Incredible.
And some of these fonts that are created today were created in the 1950s, the 1960s, by an actual person. So they're very specific. To like, and there's something called you know, the sans serif, and have you seen? So and that was actually used because there's so the sans is actually, it's got
the little squiggles
exactly, like the edge of the actual letter has got a curl up, and without it it's like more of a block letter, and that's
right.
Become a lot more popular in terms of its more
readable
and
I think what one of our listeners said was the fact that it's what's become more important today is how it shows up on a screen.
Exactly. So you've got to look when you actually create a font these days, especially the brands, when you don't actually understand what web browser they're using, and it comes out differently. So there are various fonts that you should use, like Arial, Verdana, when you're actually creating a web page.
Arial insipid.
I know it is, but it's easy to read.
I feel like it's for weak people.
Do you? That's not judgmental at all.
He's been judging people the whole story.
Have I really?
Morning.
Oh, well, first you judge the carpenters.
Right.
Then
I even subtweeted him.
I bet you didn't sing along.
So I even subtweeted him with Mother Teresa's quote.
Oh, excuse me, that Mother Teresa's quote. What was it?
When
what
you
was
judge
it?
People, you don't have time to love them. And we just want to be loved. How?
Rubbish.
Not
we judge the people we love. That's how it works. Wow.
Hilarious.
Anybody who said that has not had a Jewish mother. Judgment and love are so interconnected that it is absolutely impossible to separate them. Gina Dama, what do you think?
Being
a Jewish mother and all.
Being a Jewish mother and having a Jewish mother. yes, I feel that it's made me stronger.
Right.
You know?
Right. Because it didn't kill you.
Yes, so if your mother asks you why your outfit, why did you buy the small size instead of the larger size, you say that actually does fit me.
Mom. Yes, so Zanati, really, judgment and love. Mother,
they're there to make you stronger. They're there to help you with the big bad world. They're there to help you take on the world.
Mother Teresa was a nun. She never had children.
Exactly,
and she never had a Jewish mother.
The whole time, so she's white, very peaceful.
Yeah, she wore white. It's true. It is true.
So she exuded those little characteristics, where the rest of us had to deal with the judgment.
Time is 8:22. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Dina Diamond in just a moment. Mervyn says red and yellow is an advancing color. Blue is a receding one. What do you think about that? We'll be back. The time is 8:24. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. 101.9 Chai FM. It is a Marketing Monday as we're chatting to Dina Diamond. And we're talking about the visuals. We're talking about font. We're talking about how companies represent themselves through color, through the text that the visuals of the text that they use.
Yeah. So if you look, for example, at like a company like Nando's, and we always use them because they're just the best example of
absolutely
everything.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
So they've actually gone out there and they've looked for a second font. So if they want to express themselves in a longer form than they currently do, and they use.
Right. Because they can't use their font for a longer.
Exactly. So when you talk about readability and you look at all of that. And again, how does that translate into various mediums? So what you call adaptability. So when you actually create a web page, you've got to make sure that it can be read on your phone. And if you translate that into print ads. So there's got to be consistency because that actually what creates your brand image, your brand value, your brand equity. And brand equity is a highly valuable asset. I mean, you've got brands in worth billions of dollars.
Right.
So, Coca-Cola written any other way, it just doesn't feel right.
It's true, but they've got a couple of fonts, don't they?
They do. So you've got.
I can kind of picture them in almost a Times New Roman,
exactly,
and I can picture them in that cursive,
exactly. And that is how you should be picturing them because they've spent millions of dollars on that. So you've got the actual brand, which has almost become the logo. The word of Coca-Cola actually is like almost a logo,
yes.
And that logo has been designed and again created that font by hand, and then it becomes. But if you look at their multiple companies, so Absa as well has created their own font, YouTube. Google, they all have their own fonts to make them very specific. Samsung has also created their own fonts so that you can read it again on their various tablets and all of that, and it does display in a similar vein so that there is a consistency and a brand feel when you're using a Samsung device. So there is so much that people don't even realize.
Well, it's so interesting because I read all the time and I'm always online and I'm always, and I love this sort of thing, but I hadn't noticed or really contemplated until sometime last week before we actually had this conversation about what went in to fonts.
It's massive.
It's
massive,
incredible.
Massive,
and I've noticed that about myself. I have noticed that depending on the message I might use different fonts.
Absolutely.
Because I did, you know, as I say, Arial I think is for weak people, but, not that I'm
no
judging.
Judgment.
I'm not judging at all, but, you know, it's just so interesting.
Absolutely. And again, with moving more forward, it depends on how you see your brand. So an older brand would use maybe an older font type that tries to make it look, you know, like if you're looking at like a guest house that wants to like show like a family feel and maybe old school values or whatever it may have, they will have like literally an older font. Whereas if you're a new brand, you're edgy, you're trying to get out there, you will try and create something. You'll create a logo, you'll find a color, you'll create a font that all is very edgy, very out there. You'll also have... When you have a photo in your ad, you'll have a technique that you apply to that photo. So if you're like, you know, like Alan Gray, for example, if you look at any of their ads that are more like black and white.
Yeah, again, as you say, Alan Gray, I'm thinking of those, they're very nostalgic black and white type of thing.
Mm. Exactly. And you can actually even see their font and their brand is very sort of consistent across. And you will see it with that black and white that it comes out, that it brings up that nostalgia. And so it means they're doing the right job. And that means the agency is very consistent.
Right.
So when you see brands that you feel like, and you'll start noticing it now that you're aware of it.
Yes.
If you actually go and you see a brand that where their website doesn't really match their print, that doesn't match, that means they have not done a great job on their branding because
it's
inconsistent. And also, you're not reinforcing the brand. So if you have a brand that has the packaging must match the advertising, which match, and that's, again, if you look at Nando, their boxes, their actual print advertising, their TV, it all has that same script, so straight away it resonates with you. If you see a brand that's a certain color, it resonates with you. Like now there's like, you know, Orange, for example, it's a cell phone network. I mean, it's called Orange, and it is Orange.
And it is Orange. It would be weird if it wasn't.
It would be a bit strange.
Right.
But it's also, it's had to differentiate itself in the market because there's like Vodafone, et cetera.
Absolutely.
That's very red,
yes.
All the other ones. So how do you, if you're a new player, if you look at SAA, whatever they call themselves, SAFAIR. They're
pink
purple. Because there was nothing else for them to be, basically. I mean, Kalula, straight away, you think green. And green is also like, I mean, I don't think it's there for health reasons. But
no, it doesn't feel like
it's
that.
Almost, yeah. I think that green's like a fresh color. So when you're looking at all of these, and again, their font also very unique, uppercase versus lowercase, how do you start your words? So
it feels like chaos.
No, it is chaos. It's all chaos. But again, serif, sans serif, which way do you go? What do you do for web? So when you look at all of these things, look at how they treat their pictures. Is it close-ups? Do they have photos of, are they black and white? Are they sepia? Are they old? Are they new? Are they cut close? Is like, what is their treatment? So when you look at it, now just pay more attention, be more appreciative of those designers.
I'm definitely going
to. For hours. Yeah, hours. Absolutely. Doing it.
All right. So before I let you go, I do need to tell you this. Colin S. alerted me. He said Wilson Phillips not from the Carpenters.
So who were they?
So Mamas and Papas.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So that's where, so they, because I was just like looking it up.
Were they not the same era?
They definitely were the same era. I don't know, actually.
Hold on. Okay, so Wilson Phillips, an American vocal group consisting of, yes, Connie Wilson, Wendy Wilson, and Phillips, the daughters of Brian Wilson, the Beach Boys, and of John and Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and Papas. Okay,
so listen, that's, sorry. They have quite a pedigree. In fact, straight after the news.